be seated. We have to get excited, folks. We have to get excited. I heard the other day that they set out in the rain for 5 hours waiting to see if they were going to play football, and then they canceled the game because of lightning and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Now, I said that to say this. Would the church set out in the rain 5 hours waiting to get into the house to have church? Come on, think. I mean, that's something to think about, isn't it? How devoted are we to God? How much do we really want Him? You know, I remember when we went up to World Harvest. That was probably the first time in my life I ever had to stand in line to get into a church house, and it was long lines. If you wanted a good seat, you better get up pretty close and go pretty early and stand a long time. And then Pastor Ed and I went 2003. It was the year Dad Hagen died. We went Winter Bible Seminar out in Oklahoma, and you had to stand. The line was around the building there in the cold in February, but they were still lined up to get in. Why are we not doing that here? Why are we not doing it local in our churches? Why is there not a desire? Something to think about, isn't it? It seems that the church, and I saw something on Facebook the other day, this is not part of my message, by the way, but it's just talking about all the churches, a lot of churches shutting down because their congregations are dwindling down. They get down to the point and they're just shutting down. And part of that reason is because people won't attend church and support their church. What happens when all the churches are shutting down? You see, we still got to have God in our life. Amen. And so there's got to be that remnant, and I believe we're part of that remnant that's here standing strong, standing in faith. When the world finally looks around and says, hey, we've left God out of the picture, it's time for us to get Him back in our lives and back in our hearts, we're going to be standing here waiting on Him and be able to welcome Him in and introduce Him to Jesus once again, introduce Him to the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost, and let Him see what living is really like. Because the world out there has nothing to offer them. So we need to just be praying, need to be standing strong. Because Jesus has already made a way for you and I. As you can see, the title of today's message is Jesus is our example, or Jesus our example. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 here. He says this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that good? He has, even though we were in sin, even though we were uncircumcised, not part of the family, He has quickened us or made us alive and forgiven our trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah for that. Jesus Christ took everything that was against us. We were all guilty. We were all going to hell. And the Lord Jesus went to hell for us. Aren't you glad? He paid the price for us, nailing it to the cross, it says. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Lord Jesus Christ made a show of the devil. In other words, He went in there, showed him who's boss, came out of there and said, now I've showed him who's boss, you can show him who's boss too, because now I have forgiven your sin and you're in my family when you accept me as your personal Savior. That's good news, church. The world is missing out on so much because he liveth and was dead, and behold, I am of hell and death. Hallelujah. He is owner of everything. Anything anymore. Come on now. Do you understand that? He went free to the spirit. He was raised up out of the grave. That were in the righteous side of the pace. Amen. And keep the soak. He's apostles. He brought out with you. Do you understand that when the Lord Jesus departed, the only one now, all the people in hell now are those two compartments. But now there's only one righteous out with Him now, and they're waiting on us now for our sake and bring us back with Him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is coming back to get the church? Amen. I'm glad that He has already made a way for us to be able to go. Now there's a lot of folk don't want to go. Amen. There's so many folk that don't. People that don't believe in God don't want to go. they think. And they'll hold on to that because of pride. Come on. See, folks don't want to submit themselves to a higher power. They don't want to submit themselves to God. Man made them to commit themselves to Jesus Christ. All the devil and all his words and paid the way Jesus Christ and the things that he did while he was on the earth, he was still teaching, he was still showing for. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest, hold fast our profession of our infirmities, better than all pointed sin. See that? Goes on to help in time of Jesus, like you and I, he endured temptation with a lot of folks that you every day, and you're going to sin every day with love for us. Jesus left me and us and now, well, thank God that he made a way and opened up another way for us to be able to be forgiven, right? If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? But see, here's the thing. Jesus Christ, when he saved us, when he sent his Spirit on the inside of us, he made a way for us to not sin. Come on, the Holy Ghost is there to lead, to guide, direct you away from sin. And when we do sin, what we're doing is allowing our human nature or our soulish area to move. And when we allow him to move, then we can mess up. Amen. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus is there. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says this. I'm talking about Jesus being tempted. It says, there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Let me just stop right there. Folks, everybody, you just don't know what I've been going through. Yeah, but you just don't know the circumstances and all that, making excuses a lot of times. And the Bible says that there is no temptation that's not common to every one of us. Amen. So what that tells me, if somebody messed up in an area, then they messed up in that area because they yielded themselves to that. Amen. See, when we yield ourselves to something, then that's when we mess up. It says that every one of us are tempted in the same ways. Some fall, some fail, and some don't. Thank God. And thank God those that do fall and fail, they have an advocate, Jesus Christ. They can ask for forgiveness. They can get back on track. But it says that every temptation is common to man. Right? Then it goes on and it says this, but God who's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And some folks don't. Come on, some folks will be on the wrong road and they don't take the exit off that the Lord Jesus gave them. They just keep barreling on down that road. And there's a lot of folk doing that today. A lot of Christians that are doing that today. The Lord's given them a way out, but they're not taking that way out. So we have to understand, the Lord gave us an example. He said, I've been through all this, but without sin, and you can go through it without sin too. You don't have to sin. Now, did Jesus ever want to quit? Sure he did. Yes, Jesus wanted to quit. Let me take you to it. Matthew chapter 26. See, you've got to understand, the Lord Jesus was 100% man as much as he was 100% God. And he always had that battle. He knew exactly the will of God. God was spoken. But that flesh did not want to go through what the flesh was going through. And see, it's hard for us to sing that way because it's Jesus, but you've got to understand the flesh part of him that was up on the earth was having to go through what you and I would go through so that he could be able to redeem us back. You've got to understand that when the Lord Jesus was here, he had a will just like you and I have a will. I'm going to prove that to you by Scripture just in a minute here. He had a will just like you and I have a will. Apparently, the angels have a will. Because a third part of them couldn't have left heaven and followed Satan. Satan must have had a will. See, a lot of folks don't get that, and they think that, you know, that we're robots or they were robots. But no, all of us, God's created us with free will because God's the kind of God that wants us to worship Him freely and of our own will. He's not going to make us do anything. Did you hear me? Now here's the thing. He gave us His Word as a direction book. And He said, if you'll free willy, follow my Word. Now, that didn't sound very good. Free willy, that sounded like a will thing, didn't it? if you'll use your free will to follow me. He said, I've made a way for you. I became an example for you, and I've fixed it so that you can come to heaven and live with me. Now look here. Let's look at this scripture. Matthew 26, verse 36. Says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith to the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. How many knows if he's very heavy, then it's weighing on his humanity, upon his soul, it's hurry. And he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, praying, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he lifted them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Now, I want you to see this, because notice here that Jesus prayed to the Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, I want that to happen. But not my will, but your will be done. Jesus did not want to have to go to the cross in his humanity. I'm sure he'd seen many crucifixions. He knew what was about to happen to the body that he was in. He knew the pain and the things that he was going to have to go through. That was his human side. But his spirit side, his God side, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Do you understand that Jesus Christ, because he loved us so much and was setting the example and paving the way for you and I, Jesus Christ allowed himself to be crucified. He took his will and laid it aside and wanted God's will. See, if we would just lay our will aside and do God's will, what would happen? How would it change? What if Jesus had not submitted his will to the will of God? Humanity would have forever been lost, because Jesus was the only one that could ever redeem mankind back to God. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that it was for the joy that was set before him that he did that. I think I held that here somewhere. It says, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus surrendered his will to God's will for the joy that was set before him. What joy was set before him? You and I. The church. The Lord saw us and said, I'll die for every one of them. You talk about making an example for us. You talk about paving the way for us. What would happen if the church would start getting the mentality that I'm going to do whatever it takes to follow God and get people into the kingdom of God? Amen. See, we get ourselves so hooked up with the world that we forget that there's times that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to quit, and we're quitting all the time. Every time we get upset, we want to quit. Thank God Jesus didn't quit. Come on. He won the battle right in the garden there. Amen. The cross wasn't the winning thing. Now, I know he took our sin upon the cross. I know he took our sickness and disease upon the cross. But the decision to do it was made in the garden. One of the Gospels says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Now, I don't believe he was bleeding drops of blood, but if you've ever cut yourself, big drops of blood, I don't know if you've ever cut yourself and seen that, I believe that's the way the sweat was. He was in such anguish because his flesh did not want to go to the cross, but his spirit man did. And there was that great battle going on. And when Jesus said, "Not think about that," he prayed 3 times. Come on, now that tells you something right there. 3 different times he said to God, "You know, if there's any other way, Father, you know, but not my will, your will be done." And it was the only way. Because Jesus is the way. Not a way, but the way. And so he made up his mind. He won the battle right there in the garden. This was the time that it was flesh against spirit. And Jesus said, "My flesh doesn't want to, but I'm going to submit myself to the will of God." And his spirit wanted to. John 14:19, here's what Jesus says. "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." See, the Lord Jesus knew that once he went to the cross, once he paid the price for us, once he had paid man's debt to sin, then all of a sudden, now here we are, we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus did that. You and I didn't have to go to hell and be punished. We didn't have to pay the price. Jesus did it for us. He took upon himself sin. He took upon himself sickness and disease. Not that he had any, but he took ours upon him. And that's the way he could freely win us back to God, because it wasn't his. He was doing it for us. He was our sacrifice, making an example for us. So when we start seeing that, we understand that God used Jesus to give you and I the victory, because when Jesus got the victory, we did too. Amen. Think about that one for a minute. When he got the victory, so did we. The Bible teaches us that. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. So you got the victory. Come on. I've already got the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus paved the way for us. Now, look over here in 1 John with me. We'll not keep you too long. Let's just look here in 1 John, verse 5. This is familiar to us. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, look at that scripture right up above it. Look, it says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Your faith, using your faith, will continue to let you walk in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ won for us all those years ago. When Jesus defeated Satan, he gave us the keys to the kingdom. Remember? "Whatsoever you declare here on earth, it'll be done in heaven. Whatsoever you speak about heaven, it's going to be done on earth." Here's the thing, church. When we see the keys of the kingdom, that we have power here upon earth, it messes around with people that don't understand God and the kingdom, the way the kingdom works. Somebody was, I believe Brother Chris was talking about somebody talking about us today, how we were a cult and all that. No, see, we're not a cult. We're Bible-believing Christians. And a lot of folks go to churches that don't believe the Bible, but we're the ones that's the bad people. Well, see, we just understand what we have. We understand that Jesus did it for us so that we could be victorious. We're supposed to be the victorious church, not the weak, broken, dumb, don't know what the Bible says church. Amen. God wants us to be children of God, Christians, kings, heirs. Come on now. He wants us ruling and reigning. But if you don't know that, how can you do that? That's why Jesus gave us these examples. That's why he showed us in his word what he wanted us to be. That's why he declared and made an open show of the devil. You know what he wants you and I to do today? Same thing. Make an open show of the devil. Let the devil know that there are some folks here upon this earth that believe the Word of God, that believe that they're anointed, that know that they are called to have dominion upon this earth and be the church here upon the earth. He's afraid of that. That's why you see so many things happening out here that are trying to come against the church. And that's why so many mouths are going at all that time, because they're trying to stop what God's doing. See, the devil does not want to see us victorious. He hates you and I. And when we stand in that place of victory, when we stand in that place of authority, he has to recognize it, because when the Lord Jesus whipped him, so did you. Amen. When he made an open show of him, so did you. Why? Because you've got to understand, on the inside of you, you've got royal blood flowing. You've got the blood of Jesus Christ. God's DNA is in you right now. And the blood of Jesus is flowing through you. So Satan recognizes an anointing. And he knows that you're a son, you're a daughter of God. And he's always trying to come against us. But Jesus told us that we are the victors. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph and give us the victory. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus and the way he paved the way for you and I. That we can have confidence. We can have peace. We can sit back and realize, hey, this thing's already a done deal. All we got to do is walk in faith, because that's what will give us the victory. Believe the Word of God. Do what the Word of God says. And we're going to come out on top with the victory. Anybody believe that? Come on, stand to your feet with me then. Hallelujah. You're victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you sent Jesus here to pave a way for us, to be an example for us, Lord, so that we could see what he did and know, Father, that through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can do that too, because the Word declares the things Jesus did, even greater things will we do, because he came back to you and sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this people. Lord, that they've been raised up in the Word, Father God. They know their rights. They know their privileges. They know their anointing. They know their power. And they know their authority in Jesus Christ. And so I thank you now, Lord God, that you strengthen them, make them stronger, build them up, Father God, that you get glory, you get honor, and you get praise out of our lives. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.